Good afternoon. First, I want to thank everybody for coming. I know we pulled this together in rather short order, but by the interest and by everybody being here, we can see that people are excited about the company, and we're glad you're here. I hope you learned a little bit more about the company through the tours. As you can see, the physicals are very impressive in some cases, very large engines. This is our business, and it's a good opportunity for you to see what's inside. I kid around that we're Intel inside. Nobody knows we're there, but we're there. So the fact is, you can see where we play in these different markets. So what I wanted to do today was take a brief look at the third quarter. We've talked about that at the earnings call. Then I want to move into a little bit of what happened on the guidance and the rationale for the guidance change. And then finally, I'll touch a little bit on the balance sheet. I know many of you are concerned about that. We see a lot of growth plans. What's your plan to make sure the balance sheet fits? And then when I'm done, we'll have the Q&A. But from a 3Q perspective, you're all aware of the market itself. The industrial area was plagued pretty heavily with the slowdown in CapEx. We were guilty by association with the oil and gas, so we actually got hit pretty hard as well from a stock price perspective. The U.S. itself was down quarter over quarter on a GDP basis, so things were looking sluggish. But from our perspective, the 3Q was interesting. It was a time of really large sales, but yet margin was punished through that process, and I want to talk a little bit about that. As you can see from the 3Q perspective, it was our highest quarter we have ever had as a company. As I started looking at some of the history, and Gary also mentioned this as well, for the quarter we had $112 million sales, which is phenomenal when you look at when we started back in 11 and 10, that was a whole year's sales. So in just a few short years, we've actually times four our revenue, which is incredible. But for the quarter itself, we did have some nuance in the manufacturing and supply-based issues that we had on our ordering and our order changeover. But through that result, our net income was $9 million, and I'll talk a little bit about that because that includes the warrants. But when you take away the warrants, the adjusted net income is about $500,000. We were not pleased with that performance at all. None of us were. I think you weren't either. But we did have some strong improvement on the working capital side. The DSO and inventory both had come down from the prior quarter. So on a sequential basis, a couple things moving around. One is on the gross margin. We talked about it was one of our poorest performance quarters we've ever had. From an operating expense, we were a little bit better than the prior quarter, 121 basis points. That did take advantage of a grant we had got on some R&D. When you adjust for that, we were about 60 basis points better than the prior quarter. EBITDA and net income are both the outcome of the gross margin just falling down to those lines. Adjusted net income I talked about briefly. It was about $500,000 for the quarter, where the prior quarter was about $2.2 million. So when you look at this, you say, what happened? Sales were higher, but yet your gross margin was worse. And it comes down to the margin erosion, which is made up of the labor and overhead inefficiencies we had and some of the supply chain issues. I think Eric talked about on the call, we had some air freight to make sure we had parts here on time. It wasn't a major contributor, but it rippled all the way through from our ordering process to our labor and overhead to our changeover to our supply base. All of those things combined hurt us by about 470 basis points quarter to quarter. On the CapEx side, we continue to spend, and that's a good thing. This is, on an absolute basis, a little bit above the prior quarter, but on a percentage of sales, third quarter was at 2.8%, and the second quarter is at 2.7%. So a relatively constant investment in future programs. On a year-over-year basis, you really see the exacerbation in the gross margin performance. You see that we're 600 basis points off of where we were last year. Again, it's back to the inefficiencies in our current third quarter. But I want to make everybody aware, the second half of 14 was a phenomenal period for PSI. They had their highest gross margins they've ever had in the company's history. We had mentioned a target of trying to get to 20%. We hit that in the fourth quarter of 2004, and we were obviously at 19.8 in the third quarter. So the second half of 14 was an outstanding half for us. Not to say that that's the reason for forgiveness. We recognize the issues we had in the gross margin, and we have put actions in place to support that. You can see this throughout the assembly area, actually. EBITDA, net income, again, all the gross margin issues are flowing down. Operating expenses a little bit higher year over year, but again, that emphasizes the R&D for the commercialization coming up in the future. Again, CapEx, we're a little bit higher on an absolute basis, but again, on a percentage of sales, we're still in the 2.8 to 2.7 range. The one thing I know a lot of you were curious about, I think is probably the best way to put it, was the change in guidance. I know at first and second quarter there was no change in expectations for 15 or 16. In the third quarter we came out with a change in guidance, and basically the rationale is here. We see the near-term weakness in the markets, particularly in the industrial sectors. Those with oil and gas fared the worst, and you'll see in a minute some stock charts I've got related to that. And what you saw on the earnings call between Cummins, Navistar, and some of the other heavy industrials was, yep, the market's bad, but we're going to focus on what we can, and that's cost. And the cost discipline aspect is something that we're really starting to push. It's been a focus, but it really has to be more of an initiative in the short term to recover the gross margin. From a market perspective, excuse me, everybody that I've talked to, everything that I've read suggests the second half of 16 is as early as oil would recover to some level. As Gary said, it's not going to be $40 a barrel forever. I think if any of us knew the exact time, we wouldn't be here. We'd be doing something else. But I think right now, the idea being that the hedges on oil will roll off in the first half, the second half might get more to a normalized level. So what that means to us on an operating basis is the fuels, the delta between diesel and other fuels is not as great as it has been. It's basically marginalizing the operating benefit we can put into the market. But that doesn't mean we stop. We have to push on the acquisition cost of diesel and other things. But so you've got a market that's coming down with oil that's uncertain. Our revenue guidance, we brought it down because of the sluggishness. The exposure to oil and gas, I call it guilty by association. That is one of our markets. It's not all of our markets. It's not all of our business. The idea is to focus on the revenue diversification with the alternative fuel mindset. Now, Gary has brought you through some of the on-road, some of the other markets that we're exploring, and those are very important to diversify away from what people view as oil and gas exposure. So from a change in guidance perspective, these are the main drivers. You would expect power generation, of which oil and gas is a part of, it's moderating on demand. You expect that. This is a good business for us, however. The thing that was missing was the growth that we had expected in 16. That was about $100 million worth of growth that is no longer in our guidance numbers. It still remains a solid business. On the mobile industrial piece, that is a slight offset to the decreases both in power gen and on road. On road, we've had some delays in the customer programs that hit us for about $30 million, roughly. We still believe, however, these lifetime volumes on road are a significant market. We've only provided guidance for 16. That's all we're going to do at this point. So in terms of what happened in 16, the story is basically power gen is down, and our mobile industrials offset the on-road delays. The one thing that you'll see as sales gets challenged, or as the markets get challenged, is your revenue diversification. And this is one thing I'm not sure you've seen before, the idea of breaking out our groups into percents of revenue. So we can start tracking that as we go forward. You'll see the on-road takes a larger slice as it's being introduced into this year. Next year, the theory is it's going to take a larger slice. Soon enough, the pie is going to grow. Mobile industrial is still a stable, good business for us. The on-road is the one we want to get going to launch to get more aggressive on the volumes. And power generation, of course, is a huge opportunity for us when you think about what 3PI can offer the marketplace. I talked earlier about the impact of the share price a little bit on those in the market. Our change in guidance is really come through in the share price. I know you're all familiar with it. Some are wincing, some are smiling. But the fact is, if you look at the markets where we compete, for instance, Mobile Industrial, Hyster-Yale and John Deere, you saw their properties, you saw the John Deere property over here, are both customers of ours. As the market was shifting down because of the concern about hydrocarbons and fuel, you'll see Hyster-Yale took about a 20-point, on an index basis, drop. PSI took almost a 40-point basis drop on an index level. So we suffered significantly more than those in the industry we sell to, which is unusual. Likewise, if you look at the generator customers that we have, if you focus on Generac and Caterpillar, they bounced around the index, came down a little bit, 5, maybe 7 points on average. Again, PSI is down 30, 40 points from the index. So our share price has suffered significantly in multiples more than those in the industry. And that's an interesting situation. This was 3 days ago. The stock has come up a little bit, but the point is it's gone down significantly more than our those we sell into the channels. From an EBITDA basis, it's an interesting story for me. As you know, I'm learning about this company. But what I did was looked at where the growth was, what happened, what adjustments we have to make. And besides being an eye chart, this kind of breaks down EBITDA by year. And what this shows you is that we continue to make improvements in the base business year over year. If I look at EBITDA for the years 11, 12, and 13, compare that to kind of an analytical 9 months, last 12 months for the last period, you'll see that we continue to grow on an EBITDA basis over 200 points from an average year over year. It's important because the fundamentals are sound. The point is we had a hiccup in the third quarter that we have to figure out, and we are figuring out. Back to the balance sheet on a trade working capital, if I use that as an example, I know that folks are worried about our balance sheet, and I'll talk a little bit more about this. But from a trade working capital perspective, the second quarter was a bad quarter for our inventory. First half of the year, you all know that we purchased ahead a lot of inventory, of which we're starting to roll off. We're starting to see the effect of that as you look towards the second quarter on the last 12 months basis. We're the highest as a percentage of revenue of almost 44%. And we're starting to bring that down through the depletion of the inventory related to those buys. So that's all moving in the right direction. We've got some work to do, I'm aware of that, but we are improving. The second quarter buys are going to continue to roll off. From a debt perspective, there's a couple things that are of note. We've gotten a lot of questions about where are we on the covenants. We've gotten a lot of questions about what is our balance sheet strong enough. Here's a quick summary. Number one is, from a maturity perspective, we don't have any maturity towers prior to 17, it's in 18. We have two agreements. The first one is the $55 million unsecured notes. The maturity is 3 years. It does have a call option for us. We could repurchase under certain events. If we purchase it in before. Okay, I think this one will work. So from an unsecured notes perspective, there is a period in time which we could purchase back the notes. There's a slight premium attached to it. So we're looking at what we can do with that, whether we keep it in place or looking at something different. There are no covenants to this, and it is junior to the revolving line of credit. The revolving line of credit itself, we increased its capacity from 100 to 125 in February. It does expire in 18. It is 3 years left. And it does have a covenant with it, which is a fixed charge ratio to EBITDA, 1:1. We said this in the earnings call, that through the period of 9:30, we're fine on the covenants. We don't have any issues with the covenants. So our job here, and probably my focus in the next couple of months, is to look at the balance sheet to understand what we can do to prepare for the growth. You saw the growth. It is significant. We need to prepare the balance sheet to support that. And that will be the number one thing I do in the next 3 months, is to figure out where we're going to go with this and what we can do. The short answer is we're meeting the covenants, we're fine. The long-term answer is we have to prepare our balance sheet for the growth that we're looking at. From a debt perspective, we have no near-term maturities. So we're in the position of having to plan and prepare for the growth, which I think I'm excited to be here to do that, because there's a lot of positive things about this company. That's the reason I'm here, frankly, is you look at these products and you look at the markets that we compete in, and how well we engineer is incredible. And there's nobody else that does this. So I'm very excited to be here. I think the company is in a fantastic position. We can always improve, and we will. But the base is here, and I'm telling everybody, we've got the bones. Let's put some muscle on it and move forward.